This podcast is a proud member of the Pride.
Were we both doing it?
What the fuck?
You want to do it again?
No, you need to do it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
You have to do it because in the transcript, it has to show that it came from Adam Burns because that's how Sebastian knows when the show ends.
Oh, well, I didn't do it in the... So I'll have to do it again. Oops, that's not it.
What do you mean?
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
What do you mean the transcript has to show that I did it? Which transcript are you talking
the
about?
The Zoom. See how the Zoom transcript says right there, this podcast is a proud member of the Pride. It's attributed to Adam Burns because you played that clip.
Oh, I didn't know that it did that.
So what I do is I tell Sebastian, I'm like, that's where the show ends. So anything after that point.
Recording stopped.
Because remember, he knows when the transcript started. He knows when the show recording started.
He knows when you are sleeping.
And he knows when the transcript ends. And so when he knows that when the transcript starts, because the time is encoded in the name, he also knows when his recording started. So he can trim everything up until the point that the show starts as the pre-show. And then from the moment that the transcript starts until the fact that Adam says this podcast is a member of the Pride 48, then that marks the end, that marks the show, and that goes into a separate file. And then everything after you say those lines, then that's the after show from the master recording, because my recording is a master of the whole thing. And so that's how it chops it into different parts. And that is our first topic here on the after show, Adam, is back on that episode of Throwing Down that I was just listening to. Joe was playing the shittiest sounding clip of some of us talking, I think in pre-show about something. And you jumped to the conclusion that it must have been somebody that recorded from our Discord or from Pride 48 because that was said in the pre-show, and we don't release the pre-show.
But yeah, we don't release the pre-show.
But remember, because of your aunt's funeral, we were going to do a very short after show where we just kind of introduced some of the pre-show recordings that I had told you that Sebastian had sorted out. So I had some pre-show content that we could release. And then I even told you later, I was like, I ended up releasing the pre-show stuff, but
so you released the pre-show.
Those two pre-shows were released. So that was just part of the regular level 13 thing. But the thing that got me about it is that you said that we release level 13 on like Tuesdays. Or something.
Tuesdays or Wednesdays or something.
No. So no, that is not our schedule. Here's our schedule. We release the Gay Mix, our main podcast. We release those on Tuesday mornings at 5 a.m. Tuesday mornings, 5 a.m. Eastern time. That is when the Gay Mix comes out. Level 13 comes out on Thursdays at 5 a.m. Eastern time. So on Thursdays at 5 a.m. Eastern time, level 13 comes out. So you guys were recording on a Thursday, I think. So yes, that was from that. The level 13 that had been released that day.
We recorded on Sunday or something.
Oh, well then, yeah. So yeah, it was released on Thursday. Yeah. So
we didn't record on Thursday. Yeah. But, cool.
I just wanted you to be aware of what our published schedule was, Adam.
So go to, give me a second.
Are we still on YouTube? Did you go to your checklist?
Oh, yeah, you know what? We're still on YouTube, yes. Let me turn that off. Bye, YouTube. Let me stop recording that.
Did you stop the Zoom recording?
I've stopped the Zoom recording. I haven't stopped my audio recording yet. Got to do that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that,
too. Stream. Okay. Then I'll go back and make it unlisted. And I'll go here to my checklist.
To your checklist?
To my checklist.
Yeehaw.
And mark off stop Zoom recording, stop recording video locally, stop streaming video locally, stop YouTube stream. Done everything.
Nice.
So go to... let me just look and see, because I don't think it's enabled for It's not. Okay, I'm going to enable it.
What are you enabling?
Make sure that you've got it. That's not included. So look in the left. Refresh your screen.
Yeah.
And you have to be on a podcast page.
And when podcast page or an episode page?
An episode page.
I'm on an episode page and I refresh.
And so go. You should see a link on the left menu that says QCast Studio.
No. Overview, episodes, contact management, soundboard, compound board, notes, checklist, help guide, browser companion, API access.
You don't see QCast Studio?
Nope. I will refresh again. Do not see QCast Studio. No, I do not.
You're in the gay mix.
I can control F5 to refresh with clearing the buffer. Let's see.
Oh, it's not. You don't have it. Wait a minute.
Ah,
now try.
I don't know.
Now try.
It. Well, I don't know. You've made me refresh several times. I don't know that I want to keep doing it. Yes, I see QCast Studio. Okay.
So go to that.
Join recording room.
And go to join recording room.
Okay, I'm joining the recording room. I don't think it's going to be able to access my camera. Because my camera's being used by Zoom.
Well, then we're going to log off of Zoom.
Okay. Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, I've logged off Zoom. Now I can't, but I can't hear you. Oh, I have to say allow. Oh, okay. I have to say allow. So. Are you wait.
I'm echoing back to myself.
Yeah, yeah, I'm echoing. Back to my yeah. I'm echoing. Oh my God. That is annoying.
It is.
Is there a thing that pulls my mic? Can I set my mic?
There's I'm going to have to go in and tell it to do echo cancellation. That's the reason Riverside and other things have echo cancellation. But the quality's pretty good.
No, can I pick the mic? All it's doing is pulling from the wrong port. Can I not tell it to pull from chat?
Oh, when it came up, it should have asked you what microphone you wanted to use.
Yeah, but now how do I change that? Because clearly I don't think that was right. Do I click up here?
I think I go there.
Okay, I see. Microphone. No, it's using the right mic. This is my mix minus mic.
Yeah. For some reason, yeah, we're echoing back.
Hello? All right, now can you hear me?
Because it's playing back what it's hearing.
Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me.
No, I can't hear you.
Well, how did you know that I said, can you hear me?
I don't hear you. I'm not hearing you.
Oh, you're not hearing me.
I'm not hearing you.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Reload. Okay, join recording room. Hello? Now can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, but I'm hearing myself back. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's try one other thing. So go out and give me like 1 minute. I don't know if this will work actually.
But just send me a chat. Send me a chat in the host chat. Send me a chat when you're ready for me to rejoin.
Okay.
I've left the room now. That was torturous. I'm so, so sorry. I don't think anyone's still listening though. I think Gary and Lamont have both gone to bed. Lamont is there. Well, Lamont Cranston. I'm about to talk about this goofy fucking place, this goofy fucking company called MAGA Water. Just the dumbest people ever in the history of the world. And they were like, how can these dumb people be millionaires? It's just crazy. They have a well in their backyard in Sheboygan, and they essentially sell gallons of water for $9 a gallon. They just dip out of their well. So they buy the containers and the labels and everything, so they got maybe a buck into that thing, and then they sell them for $9. And then but they're just fucking idiots. All they're doing is dipping water out of their belt. They literally, that's all they sell is well water. Goofy motherfuckers. Oh, there's a chat thing here. Never mind. Join Zoom, he says. Join Zoom. Let's see. Go back to Zoom. How do I fucking hate that. fucking hate that. He won't. Ah, good God. So here's the thing, right? When I was interviewing for this job, they were always using Zoom, and they would send me email invites to join the Zoom thing. And when I open Zoom, the links to those interviews are right there that I can just click on. I don't have an invite to the Gay Mix, so the only way I can get to this link to get into this recording is I have to go to Google Calendar and look at the Gay Mix entry and click on the URL that I put there on it. But it's like, I have no invite to the Gay Mix at my correct email address, which is my new email address, the djbrew67@gmail.com. So, and that's the account that my Zoom is under. So it's, that's why it's not picking that up, I think. Cause it would be so much easier if I could just click on the Gay Mix from the homepage of Zoom.
There, I just sent you an invite.
We shall see, Adam. We shall see.
So the reason, so what I was going to do, because I had built in a nice, you could select who you wanted your provider to be, LiveKit or Zoom. And Zoom may have that echo cancellation built in. I don't know. And so I wanted to switch it and choose Zoom, but I remembered that there's a defect at the moment where when I change it to Zoom, it doesn't change it for you.
Yeah.
And so you'll still connect to LiveKit and we'll be in a different room. So we can't use it. I've got to fix that. But I paused that because I was working on the other stuff.
Yeah. So I see
the difference. But the quality seemed all right.
I see the difference. All you did is you emailed me just a generic link. They actually sent an invite link, like a Zoom invite link to my account. Like to my email, which is my Zoom account. So that I was, cause I like the thing that you sent doesn't have the accept and yes, and add to calendar and all that stuff. Like theirs did. Like, so
I just went to share. I just went to participants invite and then I chose email and I chose Gmail and I sent you an email. I can also send it to Daniel Brewer. Does that do?
So that's probably my old Zoom account. That, see, that's the problem is that my old Zoom account is my old email account. Like, I don't see you on my contacts. Like, when I look here at Zoom, right, and I go like, oh, who's online? Like, I don't have any friends on this Zoom. So I think that you and I are not friends on this Zoom, so you can't send me a Zoom invite. I think. I don't know. It all feels very kludgy. And it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, there may be a way for me to add you as a contact or something.
Yeah, but I don't see where it is, and this is completely boring for people to listen to. So I will do this at another time. I'll figure it out another time. Oh, there's okay. There's contact. So I'll see. Contacts, Adam Burns, invite as Zoom contact. I'm now sending you an invite. An invitation has been sent to adamburnsuk@gmail.com.
Will I get it via email or will I get it?
Do not know. It just, I said invite as Zoom contact and it sent it off to you. I know not how.
Here's an invitation.
Okay. Okay.
If I approve it.
Oh, look, look. Now I've got a notification that Adam Burns has accepted my thing. Hey. Hey. Oh, shit. Hey. Shit. Hey. This is a weird keyboard. Hey, my dude. All right. Oh, incoming video call. I've got an incoming video call from Adam Burns. I can't answer it because I'm on a video call myself. Already.
No, I didn't do it again. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Anyway, okay, so now
I sent you an invitation.
All right, so now you've
sent you the invitation.
Okay, so now you've sent it to the invitation.
To the contact.
Got it. So let me go into my Gmail here and see if it says please join. Oh, I see. I see. It'll have to be done when the meeting's not happening, because what I'm getting is please join the Zoom meeting in progress, because this meeting is already in progress. So you just have to do it. It's fine. It's fine. We're making headway, Adam. We're making headway. That's all that matters.
Well, soon, if this works, we're going to be doing it in...
Yeah, then fuck Zoom.
In that.
Although then, I'll still be using Zoom.
Well, I'll probably
still have to use Zoom at work, because I guess that's what they use is Zoom. Also, what was the other thing that they did? I found out today that they're like a Mac shop. So I'm going to have a fucking MacBook.
Oh. Well, it's good. I mean, it's just like using Linux. I mean, you're just pulling up a terminal.
It's so not you're, just you're using like Linux. Using
and you're using Linux. Windows, you're using Linux also.
I am, but so. I've been using Codex desktop for Windows because I like the... Have you not done the voice thing in Codex for Windows?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It is the greatest fucking thing in the universe.
I'm usually watching TV or something, so it's hard for me to carry on a conversation with something.
You don't need to have a conversation.
I'm listening to a podcast.
I'm just saying, instead of you typing shit out, you're just like, you can literally, and you can connect this to your phone, so you can like give these orders remotely, but you can be like, yeah, all right, can you go add another button to this dialogue thing in this project for me, and also can you check on the game project that I was working on and tell me if it's finished building yet or not, or if it's done with its task yet or not. And it's like, it'll just sit there and have a conversation with you and go like, yeah, okay, I've got that, I've kicked off that task, and you know, I'll monitor this other task and let you know when it's done. Like it's.
But what if you have like a TV show playing in the background? Is it going to know that it's a TV show and not try to talk to it? That's what I'm saying. Like I always have TV or podcasts.
You just say what you want to it and you mute it, and then it'll say shit back to you. But it's like, it's not a,
I know.
You don't have to keep talking to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've heard it's very good, but no, I haven't tried it.
It's insane.
I'm also using Codex as the extension to Visual Studio Code.
Yeah.
And not the right. app. I didn't even know they had written the app yet for Windows, because when it first came out, it was just for Mac.
Yeah.
So, and I am working on a Windows laptop, so downstairs. Yeah. I'm on Mac up here, but when I'm downstairs, I'm on my Windows laptop. So
I have a Linux server, Linux laptop, Windows 11 machine, another Windows 11 machine, and then there's several other Linux machines, like the Raspberry Pis and stuff, and then there's Zax is a Windows machine. So no Macs, though. We don't have any Macs. Although my tablet is on the tail scale, so on the tail net. So from my tablet, I can get to all my machines. Same with my phone. So my phone and my tablet can get to all of those machines. So any websites that I'm running on my server internally here, I can get to on my phone and my tablet, no matter where I'm at.
So that's going to be hard for me to test the echoing, because I'll need someone to test it with me.
I mean, I am about to be unemployed, so...
Well, now you're going to have a new job.
But not immediately. And it's like, there's got to be time between the two, which leads to this next topic. Look at that, Adam. Look at how smoothly I moved, how gracefully I pivoted into another topic. Regardless of whether I get a job offer on Monday or not, regardless of that, my last day at Greenway is next Friday. And I'm like, do I want to come up and visit you guys? Or is that like too much? Is it not a good time? Whatever. You know, cause I'll have a break from work, you know, for a week or two. It's like, do I want to go do that? Do I want to go, you know, you came down here and visited and everything. So
yeah, like, you can, you're welcome to. We're going to be gone my birthday weekend. But other than that, we're here.
Yeah.
We have, like right now, we have my parents' dog, but she'll be gone the end of next week. And then we're on the weekend of the 17th, we're going to San Antonio.
Yeah.
But then the next trip that we're doing is Germany, which is at the end of September.
Yeah.
So we're here other than my birthday weekend, which is my birthday weekend.
The weekend after I quit. So my last day is the 7th. So yeah, the weekend after that is the 14th, 15th, right? Your birthday is the 17th, right?
It's the 17th, correct. Yeah. Lamont is telling me not to be disappointed that there's no basement in the Alamo. And I have no idea. I'm sure that's a joke. And I don't get it. I didn't think there was a basement, basement in the Alamo.
Where are you going?
We're going to San Antonio.
And what's
I understand why
oh, okay.
he, I understand why he brought up the Alamo. I don't understand what's funny about there not being a basement in the Alamo. Because I know it's supposed to be a joke.
Do you? Maybe he's being sincere.
No, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Can you say Adobe?
Why would I think there was a, that's why I'm like, why would I think there's a basement in the Alamo? But I guess Pee-wee thought there was a basement in the Alamo.
A fortune teller told him his stolen bike was there in the basement of the Alamo. That was Jan Hooks that played the tour guide at the Alamo. The thing is that I want to, yeah, if I was going to come up and visit, it would be like, before your birthday, I'd pop up on like a Wednesday and Thursday and something. You know what I'm
saying? You know what? The Grape Festival is going to be going on.
When is that?
if you want a chicken dinner,
I know, a delicious chicken dinner.
You can't wear a hoodie. They've put out a thing that you cannot wear a hoodie to the Grape Festival.
No hoodies allowed.
No hoodies are allowed and no weapons of any kind.
None. What about selfie sticks?
I think those are okay. It's the 4th through the 8th.
My last day is the 7th. I was looking at, cause you're going to be gone the next weekend. I was like, oh, but I could come up on like the 12th and 13th or something.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you and I could do something. Mark's working. So.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest. Mark's not going to, Mark begrudgingly goes along with us when we do things.
Sure.
So I figured we'd come up, we could play some games, go do dinner. I don't need to be entertained. I don't need to be, you know, treated like a fragile.
Well, we could go to Silver Dollar City. Ooh. And you could compare it to Disney.
You could do that.
Did we go to Silver Dollar?
No.
We haven't been to Silver Dollar City.
Oh, I love yeah.
Let's we go should go to Silver Dollar City. They're open.
Yeah, so I'll let you know. Well, you know,
okay.
I need to, you know, because if I don't get the job, either way, but if I don't get the job, then I have more time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can still come up and visit, but I don't have to do that.
If you don't get the job, we could make another trip to go see Fatty.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. We could do that. Or, you know, we could just go see Fatty.
Yeah, I'm open for that, too. I mean, I'd have to fly in, so I'd have to see what the cost is. And
yeah,
I know he's at the
so
Horror Hotel. This
fucking expensive to fly nowadays.
But yeah, I'm open. I want to see him at some point before he dies. I mean, not that I think he's going to die anytime soon.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to get to an age where he just wants to stay at home and not do anything and whatever. And he's still active. Yeah. So it's good to see him now. I also want to see Auntie Scott again at some point.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's not dead. Aren't they cruising or something?
I was the one that told you they were cruising.
What? And they're doing a back-to-back?
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah, they were back-to-back. Okay, so I'm
Where? What were they? Do you know what they are?
I'm trying to read the chat message from Lamont Cranston. All those Filipino theme parties you get dragged to, Adam. Mark should be glad to hang out with Daniel.
He is fine hanging out with Daniel.
Until he'll send him text. He'll go like,
no,
please don't leave me alone with your friends.
It's not. First of all, that was a long time ago.
Please don't leave me alone with your creepy old friends.
He probably feels more comfortable now. We don't discuss it, so I mean, I don't know, but he's not, he He's fine hanging out with you.
I know. We can play games. We can play some games.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And I would join you in Charleston as well if I'm not, you know, whatever. Although, I mean, we can't just drop in on Fatty. We'd also have to.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to coordinate it. One does not simply walk into Fatty's. That is for sure.
I mean, we could walk into Friday at Fatty's. They'd feed it. They wouldn't turn us away.
So tell me about Sydney and her bath. Although I think you've already talked about this somewhere, right? So
did I?
I don't know. What? Tell me about it.
Well, there's nothing special other than I was just going to mention, we're thinking about changing her groomer.
Yes. You talked about it on the Geeky Gay. I heard that on the Geeky Gay.
And so.
Why did your groomer leave?
Well, see, it's a whole thing. She was close to retirement age anyway. And so I think they kept hinting around that she might retire at some point soon. It seems silly to retire from dog grooming, but I don't know why. It just seems silly to me.
What?
It doesn't seem like a job that you retire from.
What are you talking about? Your skin gets thinner as you get older, and now you've got those dogs like scratching at your arms and stuff, and that what would just have normally been like a little, you know, irritation now rips skin.
Do you say that you're retiring from a job like that?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
That was your profession if that's what she did.
So anyway, they kept hinting that she was going to retire, but then she retired, air quotes, suddenly. There was no preamble, no nothing.
When I quit my job with Greenway.
Yeah. And right after that, this New Hope Boarding and Grooming got bought by one of those venture capital firms. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that they probably buy those. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, whatever. So I don't know whether she quit because she's like, I don't want to work for these new people. Or she's like, this is probably a good time to quit because they're taking over. And then all of a sudden, the owner that was always there was gone. Like, it was completely new people.
Yeah.
And so we were thinking about changing, but I'm a procrastinator. So I haven't called the new place. And they used to text us the day before. And last time I talked to them, they said, oh, just give us a call when, you know, you want her to have another bath. And her baths are normally every other Thursday because they used to schedule them for us. Well, when they said that, I thought they meant we're not scheduling them for you anymore. You need to call. So I assumed that she did not have a bath today. So I was just laying on the couch watching Mom, because I'm now on season 6. Also, you were wrong. She's Anna Faris is there all the way through season 7. She only is not there in season 8.
Okay.
So I'm on season 6. And
I feel it starts to get a little samey.
Well, that's kind of what I like about it, because I can watch it while I'm doing other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to be sitting at that place eating. Oh my God. You know what bugs me so bad? And I'm sure they do this on every show.
How they don't actually eat. They just push.
How they don't actually eat. They just push the food around.
Yeah.
It drives them. They're just pushing food back and forth in the plate, looking, inspecting it, looking at their fork, but they do not eat anything. And I understand why they do it, but dude, you need to take a bite every now and again. Just one bite per scene so that I see that you're actually eating something. It's ridiculous. But they texted me and they said, just checking, Sydney has a grooming appointment today.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring her? And I was like, oh, shit, because they didn't text me yesterday.
Dingo.
So I took her. It's like 20 minutes away, though. It's an ordeal. And that's one of the reasons we're looking at changing, because there's one that's only 5 minutes away from us.
You're going to turn.
Whereas this one's 20 minutes away.
Are you going to turn and face the strange?
I don't know what that means.
Changes.
So I took her, and then because I had forgotten, normally one of us will take her and the other one will pick her up.
Yeah.
But she was done.
Oh.
At a bad time. Mark couldn't drop everything and go pick her up. So I also had to pick her up. Oh, so I drove like 45 minutes each way.
Wow.
Or no, 20 minutes each way. So 45 minutes to take her to the groomer, and then another 45 minutes to go back to the groomer and then come back just to get her bath and her little trim that she gets.
Yeah, you should definitely, you know what you should have done during those 45 minutes? Called another groomer closer to your house and made an appointment.
There is one closer. I'm just a person. I guess I don't like change.
Adam, so nobody likes change.
I guess, because I'm procrastinating.
Joe in Dallas says, walking in on Fatty unannounced would be educational.
I just want to see him having sex at some point.
What?
Yeah.
Did I know this? Is this seriously something you want to see him having sex?
Yeah, because I just have questions that could only be answered if I can see, you know, I want to know what position he's in. Is he the top or the bottom in this situation? Is he, when there's a puppet show going on, is he the puppeteer or is he the puppet?
Yeah.
You know, there are all of these questions that I have.
If
the special, is he sitting on the special chair or are other people sitting on the special chair? There are so many questions. He's so vague on his show. There are so many things.
Okay.
So many
unanswered questions. Right, let's break this down. If you have a special chair.
Yeah.
And you advertise that on the social networks, on Grindr and Scruff or whatever, that you have a special chair. What does that imply to you? Like,
well, probably that you other people are sitting on it.
Yes, exactly. That is like, you wouldn't advertise, like, what you're going to advertise, like, okay.
You could like to have your ass licked.
Yes, but I don't know that would be a big drawing factor to a lot of people. It's like, oh, well, you have a special chair. And
so you can just lay there and be lazy and my butthole's right there.
No,
you.
I understand the concept of the special chair. And I'm just saying the fact that it is advertised kind of leads to the conclusion that he likes to do the rimming, as it were.
I wonder if there's a special pillow that holds his head up, because even if you're like, if you're laying there, your head and your tongue are going to be kind of far away from what you're trying to get to. So you're going to have to raise your head.
It's on springs. It comes down very low. I mean, That is why it's a special chair.
Your neck would get so tired.
No, it is engineered to be convenient. Anyway, so I don't think I ever knew that. And until poor Fatty doesn't listen to the after show, so he can't use this clip on his show.
I was too explicit.
Before he dies, you want to watch him having sex. Like, it could be like video, or do you need to be in the room?
It could be video.
Like a video.
I don't have to be in the room.
Okay.
And I hope he's not going, yes, you know, or whatever, because that would just be, but if he is, I mean, that's fine. But I just.
Okay. All right. I ran across this YouTube channel. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. It's called Code TV. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I have not heard of it.
So it's on YouTube. Let me find an example here. And I didn't know that this existed. I guess it's existed for a couple of years now, but I didn't know that it existed. But they do these kind of like little challenge kind of games, but they're all developer stuff. So, you know, they're web dev challenges and stuff. Right, so like it'll be something like.
What could you create if you had 30 minutes to plan and 4 hours to build? Today, we're challenging three teams of devs to build an app that people can't help but play with. They're going to be using Google Jules and Stitch.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Jules, you maniac.
I'm going to say this is going to be our best season yet.
Jules has been talking to you a lot. I think we probably got every problem under the sun today.
It's not like we're doing a web development challenge or anything.
Welcome to the Web Dev Challenge.
Ew.
Yeah? What?
Just something Joe said in the chat room. I'm not gonna repeat that.
Yep.
Ew.
Anyway, no. So I found this web dev challenge thing when I was going around. It's like it's very appealing.
I think I have seen. I mean, I'm not shaming anyone, Joe, but ew. But the Yeah. Yes. I think I have seen that. Are they in like a, they're in like an office or like a conference room or something.
Yeah.
And they're, he's got like three or four developers and they're
depending on the challenge. Okay. Yeah. And they also, they tried this game show that they did on their channel that was not as successful. It was horrible. It was like, there's like the bones of a game show there, but it's kind of like they were trying to mix hot wings with, you know, 20 questions or something about dev stuff. I don't know. It was really weird. However, I don't know. I find it comforting to know that things like that exist. I didn't know if you'd watched anything, but it's kind
of good. I think I have watched some of those.
Yeah, it's kind of good.
There's this other one that I watch where this is so nerdy, but these web UX people.
Yeah.
Sit around and try to solve CSS problems.
Yeah.
And there are three of them, and they get a challenge. They get a picture or an image, and they have to recreate that using CSS.
Yep.
And then the three of them will all go off and try to do it, and then they'll come back and see who wins, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, there have been ones that I used to watch. There was another guy that just did CSS all the time I used to watch, who would just, every video, he would have a different, like, CSS issue or problem that he was solving or whatever.
If I have a complaint about this Code TV, about the web dev challenges that they do there, it would be that they bill it as you have 30 minutes to design and then 4 hours to code. But it is clear, excuse me, when you get in there, it is clear that they pre-build stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like they're bringing stuff with them. You know what I'm saying? They're not,
okay.
It's not from scratch, because there'll be people like, oh yeah, we didn't get any sleep last night at all because we were finalizing, you know, the engine or whatever. And it's like, but wait, then that's not a 4 hour challenge. And I remember we had a hackathon that we had participated in 1 year that was, you knew the topic ahead of time and you had to do something within that topic. And you had 4 hours to do it, but you were allowed to pre-write a lot of it as long as you didn't fully connect it all together. You know what I'm saying? So you could build individual pieces and stuff and just basically make API calls out to things that are, you know, that are pre-built. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't seem like that's in the spirit of a hackathon. I mean, I get why they do it, because 4 hours is an insanely small amount of time to do anything
right
impressive. However, what is the point in having a hackathon? Then make it a 24-hour hackathon.
A longer hackathon. Yeah,
make it a longer thing, or a multi-day hackathon or anything like that. But no, Adam, no. They chose to make it what they did, the 4 hours, 30 minutes. And I gotta imagine that there's a lot of rule bending there. It also seems to be very corporate heavy, like very sponsor heavy. Like your task this week is to make, you know, update your homepage with the at protocol. And it's just kind of like, who wants to put the fucking at protocol on their homepage? Like this is like a, you know,
I think they get sponsors and they'll use their tool.
No, yeah, that's exactly what this is. Yeah,
to do the thing.
This was an episode that was sponsored by Blue Sky. And so they had their mentor there from Blue Sky who's like, with the at protocol, you can like add on. It's like Blue Sky is an at protocol app, but there are many other things that can be done with the, you know, the open source at protocol. And we have a bunch of tools for you that, you know, allowed you to pick from pre-built, you know, endpoints to social graphs and stuff. So it's all just like, yeah, it was just like
another feature for my product.
What?
A tool that will automate social media publishing.
Yeah.
When your live show begins.
Right.
So you can set it to like, you know, 5 minutes before or something. I don't know. It'll tweet. It'll. Yeah. Or X. What do you call it when you send a message on X?
I don't know. Post?
Do you X?
I don't know. I don't use X, so I don't know.
Put it on Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
All right. So this is the clip that I want to play before we get out of here. Are you familiar with The Good Liars?
Is that a YouTube channel?
They are in fact a YouTube channel. And they're two liberal comedians that basically go to like Trump rallies and things like that. And they interview people as if they're actual news people.
Okay.
But they ask, you know, very pointed questions and kind of let people hang themselves on their stupid answers. And these are all like, you know, MAGA, ultra MAGA people and everything. So they ran across these people. That are selling this product that they made with them, you know, that they brought there with them, and it's called MAGA Water.
Okay.
And let me find the moment that we actually first meet the MAGA. Yeah, here we go. So I think this is the moment we meet this couple that sells the MAGA Water.
2028, what does it mean?
It just means that we have to take the House and the Senate now so secure.
That's not him. Come on.
Up run in 2028.
It's water and God's green earth. It's 8.3 artesian mineral water, and it's tested every year for PFAS, and it's PFAS-free, of course, and it's unadulterated. It comes from northern Michigan in Sheboygan, 300 yards from the Straits. It's commercial business and property, and it's just the purest water. Zero iron, 8.3 natural alkaline pH, and we sell a lot of it.
How much do you sell on average, if you don't mind me asking?
I'd rather not.
Did it remind you at all?
So he sells.
Oh, wait, he said it's 8.3 water. What does that even mean?
I know exactly. That is exactly, it's, yes.
I Googled 8.3 water,
yep.
And it said most commonly refers to the weight of a gallon of water.
Yep. So he's, it's all this woo-woo talk, right, about, you know, how it's PFAS-free and it's, you know, pure water and everything. So all it is, because I had Sebastian do some research on this, they have a well. They have a well in Sheboygan, Michigan on their property that has really clean water, that has really good tasting water, right? It's just a well. That's it. That's all it is. And, but they've built this whole website and they've used several different names over the years, but now they're on MAGA Water, right? So it's all MAGA Water. And it's all, so the website, if you go there, like magawater.com is, we're, you know, 10% of our proceeds go to Gold Star families, but nowhere on the site does it name the charity that it's going to or who. In fact, if you go to their donation page, let me make sure that this is still there right now. So let's see, magawater.com. And if there's a give/donate button that I can click on. And if you scroll down to the bottom, it has this little disclaimer, donation disclaimer statement. Lorem ipsum dolor sit amet consecutor. It's like
to those who are not in the know, that's the filler text that's the filler text that's always used on like website builders and you know stuff like that. You're looking for text.
Put your content here is essentially what it is, and it's just to show you know how words wrap in the styling and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like so it's kind of like. But here's the question, Adam: what would you pay for a gallon of this water? Let me tell you about this water, Adam. First of all, what would you pay just for a gallon of water?
I'm going to admit something.
Yep.
I don't know how much things cost.
Okay.
I know that's horrible.
Okay. No, it's fine. It's fine.
I go to the store, but I don't look at prices, but I'm going to say
$5. $5. Do you want to know the actual price for a gallon of water?
Sure.
A gallon of water, depending on the grocery store, is going to be anywhere from 99 cents to like $1.25.
Okay.
It's just a gallon of water. It's spring water, you know, distilled water, whatever. So a gallon. And if you buy the bigger sizes, like the 2.5 gallon or the 5 gallon, it's even cheaper per gallon, right? So it's not a lot. It's just water. And so knowing that a gallon of water at your local grocery store is somewhere between, let's just say between 99 cents and $2, because I don't know about California. Maybe they have expensive gallon waters out there. Or you know what? Let's even take your $5. Let's say it's $5. So take a guess what they charge for a gallon of their water.
Well, because you're asking me, it's going to be something ridiculous. Plus, but, I mean, plus I would shipping. Say, is it $25?
No, it's not. It's $9, Adam. $9.
Okay.
$9 plus $7 shipping. So it's $16 for a gallon of water from Sheboygan, Michigan. And it probably costs them about 13 cents for the plastic container and cap. And then another, I don't know, 5 cents for the label that they wrap around it there. So, you know, for less than 50 cents and a trip to their well, they're getting $16. So it's just like,
well, I mean, there is, I, you know, you make fun of them, but some of that water that they sell, like at the convenience store, those really fancy looking bottles that you get or whatever, they're $3 or $4 for just like a 20 ounce bottle,
Adam,
or something.
Adam, here's the thing. I'm not complaining. This is what I'm complaining about. I haven't played you the clip that I'm complaining about now, Adam.
Oh, okay.
This is what I'm complaining about. These people, probably millionaires, probably have made well over $1 million on their little enterprising water campaign, you know, with the whole goofy MAGA crowd. Like you slap MAGA on anything and people are going to buy it. And, you know, they've got all these buzzwords, all the MAHA buzzwords in there, you know, that it doesn't have additives and it's 8.3 pH pure and, you know, all these kind of things. And, you know, they're selling a lot of water. Here, Adam, these are the people. Here you go. These people who make their living off of selling bottled water out of their well in their backyard have a chance. They're talking to a news person with a microphone and there's a camera on them, right? That, you know, that it is definitely, you know, a highly trafficked YouTube channel. And you have a chance to spread your product information to the masses, right? That's the only way you sell it is through your website. So of course, getting your website out there is the great thing. Here you go, Adam. Here's the interview with them. Here's the ending part of the interview where they're getting to plug their product. You ready?
Where can people get MAGA water?
Taste the pure difference, MAGAwater.com.
It's all right. Not Taste the Pure Difference.
It is.
Not the whole website.
No, the I said the tagline, Taste the Pure Difference.
www.magawater.com.
Yeah. No, he's wrong. It's magawater.com is our URL. Our tagline is
our
Taste the Pure Difference.
Our
exactly.
Well, the way he said it, it was different. So.
Should we try it one more time?
Yeah, let's just try
it. Try one more. Okay.
Taste the pure
www.
difference.
You got me all screwed up now, Jay.
Do you want to do it?
No, I mean, I'll do it.
MAGAwater.com. That's it.
You want to if you want to taste the pure difference, go to MAGAwater.com.
Well done. Easy.
They're
well,
fucking
some
idiots.
Are gonna do that.
They're
yeah,
just
they're...
fucking idiots, Adam. There's like how it's like the only difference between those fucking idiots who are millionaires and me, who is not an idiot, is the fact that I could never bilk people that it would never cross my mind to try to screw people out of their money by going out to my backyard. And, you know, maybe if it was really good water, maybe I'd sell it for $2 a gallon. Maybe I'd sell it for, a dollar.
Daniel, when you had mango tree in your backyard,
yep,
you could have sold MAGA mango.
I should have done that. MAGA manga.
Yeah. MAGAmango.com.
Taste the difference. Taste the pure difference. Also, I noticed how they got to get that pure in there, just like feeding into the white net, like all the dog whistles, all the trappings there. Adam, I think that's the show. I think we're good. I think we're done.
I think we're, you know, Tony has not even thanked me.
Haven't heard from Tony.
Tony
hasn't
thanked me for doing 5 episodes of Geeky Gay this week.
Where's Brian? I haven't heard from Brian.
Oh, I think Brian left Discord as well.
Yeah, he did. Well, he sent us an email and said he left Discord, but I'm assuming he's still listening to Level 13. By the way,
what did he say was his reason for leaving Discord?
He didn't. He said for unimportant reasons or whatever. He didn't share with us the exact reason, just that he was.
He joined. Did he enter the witness protection program?
I don't know that. What part of I don't understand? I don't know. Do you not understand?
I'm just dragging it out.
Here's the thing. Brian is an excellent UI designer, so you should probably have him put eyes on.
Is that his job?
I don't know if it's his job, but I know that it's on his portfolio, is on his website. It's on, That's his thing. I'm just saying Brian,
reach out and touch someone.
Reach out and touch someone. I don't know. I mean, you would probably have to pay him. I mean, if that's his job, then you'd have to pay him. You can't just have him do it for free. So, don't.
We could come to some arrangement.
Maybe.
But again, I like the direction that it's headed in. So, I mean, I'm not assuming there's any drastic changes.
No. The problems with the UI is the CSS, the way that things render on different size screens, like the soundboard keeps changing size depending on how wide your screen is. Like, I want to be able, it needs to have a configuration that doesn't do that. Like it needs to respect where the bottom of the page is and keep things from scrolling off the bottom of the page. And it needs to just be more condensed in its presentation so that it doesn't have so much wasted white space in it. Right. Also, not a big, huge fan of the dark theme, but that's,
oh really?
That's something.
You don't like a dark theme.
I'm not a big dark theme guy.
So if I added a light theme,
yeah,
and you could just flip a button switch or something. Would that be something that you would be interested in?
Yeah, probably. At that point, you should probably also have settings so that I can save that setting so that, when I log in, it's in the theme that I want.
Well, yeah. I mean, whatever you set would stay the same.
I'm just saying, I didn't see if you had a user setting.
I wonder how hard it would be for it to do that. If I just say, can you go in and give me a light theme version of every... CSS.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all. It'll do that.
And then give a button that switches.
You could do that. Don't use Luna anymore, for God's sakes. Use Terra. If you're gonna try to save money, use Terra. But just get yourself the $100, upgrade to the $100
a month. I don't think it's done worse, in my opinion, than Soul did. Because
It has done worse. As someone who uses the product, there's like little polished things that like, because I use these models every day, and I'll tell you, Saul would have caught that. Saul would have would have redone it. It's like the difference between these models has to do with the effort that they put into things and how long they'll try to do things and how thoroughly they'll do things. So Luna is really good for summarization or for like, hey, what does this code base do? Or, here's this very specific, like add a button to this page or add some dark and light CSS, whatever. But when you're into actual building the UIs and stuff where there's a whole lot of interacting CSS and it needs to respect boundaries and stay, logical, then you want a bigger model. You're going to want Saul or Terra. I think Terra could probably do it. But I would probably plan it in Saul and then execute it in Terra. So I would go into planning stage in Saul, let it make the plan. I would read through the plan. And then when I approved the plan, I would actually step down to Terra. Because once it has direction, I think Terra is very competent. Saul's a little bit better at taking it on. Excuse me. But you know what? Who sucks? Opus. Who? Opus 5. Dear God, what a fucking train wreck that model is. It's not that great. It fixed my card animation problem. And it seems to be really, really good at graphics, but that's like all it seems to be good at. It's like I've stepped back to 4.8.
Is that Claude?
Yeah.
So I thought you were using Codex now, pretty much.
I use both. Okay. So here's the thing. This is what I learned, Adam. I can now pass my wisdom on to you, and you'll promptly not give a shit. But the subscription plans are subsidized, right? So like at work, if I use Sol, there is a cost to that, an immediate cost to that, that is way higher than $20 a month, right? So in an average day at work, if I'm coding stuff, I may burn through, you know, $40 or $50 worth of inference. But at home on my subscription plans, if you run the numbers, right, it's so heavily subsidized that that $20 is actually giving you probably, I'm not even going to make this up. I'm going to Google this because I knew those numbers are out there. What is the subsidy difference on ChatGPT versus API? So depending on the plan that you go with, right, if you go with the $20 a plan a month, right, how many tokens, if you weren't on that plan, what would you have to pay API wise? And I'm trying to find it. I can tell you on the max plan, on the $200 a month plan, you're actually getting about $14,000 worth of API. Wow. So it's very heavily subsidized. And the reason that it is like that is because individuals, developers or individual people have these plans. Any enterprise account doesn't have those subscriptions. There is no such thing as a subscription and enterprise plan. So in any right. big company that's using it, they're paying all API pricing. But they want those devs at home to not be constrained so that they'll be, you know, comfortable spending more tokens at work, right? The point is that you get a lot of usage off those plans, but you have to understand how to use them. Both Claude and Codex have two different timers that they are two different percentage, buckets, usage buckets, right? Currently, ChatGPT has one of theirs turned off. So they don't have the 5-hour bucket active at the moment. They only have the weekly bucket.
Which is what I ran into.
Correct. So what happens is that you have a bucket of usage, right? And, you know, depending on what model you use, depends on how fast you use that inference, how fast you use that usage. And then once you've filled up, you know, once you've done with that usage, you're done for the week, right? You have to wait for the reset. And on a $20 plan, doing as much work as you're doing, of course, you're going to run out. But had you have the next step up, like the $100 plan, you probably would have had enough usage to do all that without doing it. And also, those resets work on the entire week. So if you have a reset, and they do expire, so check and see when they expire. And it's like, before they expire, make sure you use them because it basically resets your weekly back to zero, right? So you can have used 95% of your weekly budget. And then if you have a reset token, you can reset it and you'll be back at zero and you can use another 95. And those reset tokens came out with different problems that they have in the past. It depends on how long you've had your account, whether you have some or not. And I know one of them just expired like today. So I think if you haven't used it by today, you've lost that one.
Well, I haven't looked at, how do you even find your resets?
So in what product? In Codex or in ChatGPT? So from the web.
For in the web for ChatGPT.
Okay. So in the web, you want to go to, let me get there. You want to go to on your dude down in the bottom left on your profile thing, click on that and go to settings. And then from the settings page, go to usage, which is right under billing.
Wait, let me go to ChatGPT. I'm not in the web. ChatGPT. So go down to
your profile, click on your profile, click on that, go to settings. And then on the settings, go to usage, which is right under billing, but go to usage. And you'll see right there that you have a weekly usage limit and how much of that is remaining.
It says I have 100% remaining.
Right. So just reset. And then do you have underneath that a section that says usage limit resets?
Yes.
And what does it say that, when does it say
it expires? It says no usage limit resets available time.
Yeah, so yours have already expired. And then this is where you would have you could buy credits or whatever. But that'll tell you where your weekly usage falls. The other place is inside Codex, at the regular prompt, there is actually, if you click on your profile in Codex, there's actually a little thing that says usage that you can just get to right from there. You can see where your usage percentage is inside of Codex.
Didn't they combine Codex and the regular ChatGPT into one tool?
They renamed now? Yeah, they renamed Codex into ChatGPT because they were pushing ChatGPT work. But yeah, I'm still going to call it Codex right now because it's technically it's ChatGPT Codex. But anyway, Claude still does have the 5-hour window. So you have two different buckets. You have how much usage you can do in a 5-hour window and how much usage you can do for the week. And the way that it works is that the 5-hour window starts when you activate it, right? So if you haven't used it overnight, then the 5-hour window hasn't started yet. It starts when you do your first call. So what a lot of devs do is they will, in first thing in the morning, they will, on their phone, go into Claude and ask it, say the word purple, or type the word purple, and something that starts their usage counter so that their 5 hours starts, right? So yeah. It starts ticking in. And the reason is that you're trying to get it closer to the refresh so that you can work through, right? So you want to get to the point where, you don't run out of tokens until right before you're about to refresh. But that refresh, sure. The sooner that refresh is, the harder you can go. So if you start the 5-hour timer before you take your shower in the morning and everything, by the time you get to work, it's only going to be 2 hours till the refresh, right? So you can, so that's how a lot of people, that's called value maxing. That's what people do when they do that. And there's people that write automated scripts that do that, like that will start the window at 3 a.m. so that, when they wake up, they've got another hour before refresh. So anything they do at home doesn't affect, their tokens, wherever. A whole bunch of things like that. And then what a lot of startups will do that aren't on enterprise accounts is they'll just give their devs multiple $200 accounts. So it's like, and it doesn't matter. Like you can just re-authenticate it while it's still working. And then the next request will just take the new usage, right? So you can chain together multiple ChatGPT accounts to do the same amount of work in Codex. And that's what a lot of startups do, right? Any large enterprise where they have an enterprise account, they can't do any of this because they don't have those subsidies. Subsidies are only for individuals. So you're in a good spot where you can get like a whole lot of inference for very little money comparatively. And remember, it doesn't have to be permanent. Like you can go up to $100 this month and see how it feels. And if you don't, if you start backing off on the amount that you write and you're not hitting your limits anymore, then just next month, just drop back down to the 20, right? It's like,
Well, I'm not hitting my limits on Luna, but I haven't gone back to Sol, so I don't know.
You don't have to go back to Sol. Like Terra is a good mid-ground, right? And Terra was just reduced and it already was natively half of Sol, right? So Sol and 5.5. So Sol and 5.5 are the same price, which is $30 per million output tokens and $15, I think, for input. And then the Terra is half of that, just like 5.4 was half of 5.5. So Terra is kind of equivalent to 5.4, but it's more, I would say Terra is equivalent to 5.5. So if you like GPT 5.5, Terra 5.6 is the same. It's a cheaper cost than 5.5 and about the same level of competence as 5.5. Where I found that 5.6 Sol is really good is on multiple, like really complicated things, like where I'm having it modify both the AI and both the API and the UI at the same time. And it's got to, to do that in parallel and to test it and everything, it's got to, coordinate with the other. So it's like, it's sending out multiple sub agents to work on those things in parallel, but they try to they stay communicated. That's more of a Sol thing, right? Like I'm going to apply this fix. I don't care that it's going to be expensive because it's, the fix needs to be done. So it's like, I need you to go.
So what are you, you said multiple agents, but normally I just say, go do this thing. And I don't tell it how many agents are you spinning up or like anything like that. Are you saying you're spinning up agents to work on different things at the same time?
Yeah. I will literally say, like, I need you to go into, you know, I need a new endpoint that's going to give back the latest, you know, that's sorted by refresh time of this event table or whatever. So I need an endpoint time that I can literally just take the top record of that so that I can find out when the latest data came in. And while you're doing that, I also need the UI to be restructured so that it's calling that last endpoint to see if a refresh needs to happen. So it needs to store the last refresh as a variable and then check to see whether the new API has a value that exceeds that. And if so, then it does a refresh. Otherwise, it skips the refresh, and that's to cut back on the polling. So
why are you getting that far into the weeds as to tell it exactly what API and all that? Why not just say, I need a feature that does this, go build it?
Because I'm tying it into an existing function. Like, there's stuff that's already there that needs to happen. Like, okay. I'm redefining a workflow or any product that exists. Like,
I've built this whole thing without, I don't know what APIs exist because.
Okay.
It built the whole thing. Okay. Like, I didn't go in and write any code. So
I don't write code. I just direct it to do things. But I know where I know what the endpoint
is. I could find out, but I don't know.
I do.
Okay.
It's like I don't need to know the code of what it wrote, but I do need to understand the architecture of what it created so that I can direct it to do things. Networking, you know, redundancy, or to handle with, you know, page refreshing and, you know, setting up like an event queue and stuff like that. It's like, I don't want it to handle those things without me knowing what it's doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't need to direct every single piece of it, but I do need to understand all the pieces that are there so that I can then, design new features and see where they're going to fit in to those kinds of things.
Right.
One of the things that, that I've been working on, design wise is something similar to sites, but for a secure environment. So like I work in a HIPAA regulated environment, so we can't use sites, right? But there is still a need for people who are, you know, not technical to have a place to publish, you know, little apps that they make in Codex or whatever, right? Little helpful apps and whatever. So much like sites provides them with, you know, it's already got an authentication layer on top of it. It's got, you know, a database available there that you can write to. It's got, you know, it knows how to search the web, and it gives you a bunch of tools, right, that you don't have to, you know, figure out how to sketch together. And it gives skills to the age, you know, to the harness that says, this is how you publish the sites. This is how you do this in sites. This is how you set up a database in sites. This is how you, you know, would do the. So it's got these skills that it provides so that you as a user only have to say, make me a site that does this and this and this. And it will, you know, figure out how to incorporate that into site and how to publish it. Right. So
yeah.
I'm working on that for a more secure environment where we're having to use very specific, because it depends on if this is something that handles PHI, then it has to use different APIs and it has to have audit trailing on it and stuff. So it's just like kind of a lights off thinking about that. So that, like, if you identify this as something that deals with PHI, it automatically goes ahead and does the auditing and the, you know, to things like that. But then tying it into the authentication system of the network so that you can follow forward with the same permissions that the sources would have had. So like if you were sharing a piece of information, like one of these web things inside of a Slack channel, it could pick it up from the Slack channel, put it in, only people that were able to see that Slack channel would have access to the website. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, you can keep things secure between groups and everything so that you're not just publishing everything publicly. And then once you get those things published, actually having little library bots that go around and summarize what the little applications do, break those into keywords and to other things and put those into a vector database that as new apps are added, they can go, oh, here's some similar things. Like these other apps are doing some similar things. You can go and look and see what they do. Or I want to, has anyone come up with a way to, you know, automate the expense report or whatever. It's like, here's some apps that deal with expense reports that people have that have published that you have access to. And so kind of, you know, just making those things discoverable. So not only a publishing place, but more like kind of an internal promotion kind of a place, to find those things. So that's what I'm thinking of kind of.
That'd be cool. You maybe you can do that at your next company.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's like, cause that's kind of, you know, what they're at. At my current company, it's a need, but it's not a big need because they're so scared of AI and all. No one, you know, a lot of their departments just aren't using these tools, right? They're, it's more of a, this company that I'm going to is very AI forward, very, you know, like their core product is built on AI. So, you know, it's just a better environment to do those kind of things. So,
cool.
No, I'm super excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely way less stress than this fucking job. And you know, doing cute little automation things and doing, you know, talking to people and learning and testing out new things and sharing that knowledge and everything. I love doing that shit. Like that's not a job. That's shit
you,
I like to do.
For sure. Yeah.
So it's cool that this job kind of came along and, I'm hoping that, that it'll work out well. Like I said, I cannot think of a single reason to have a meeting on Monday if they're not planning on,
right,
you know, making an offer. So,
well, good luck.
Yeah. Thank you. I think the only things that could possibly derail it is, you know, if they have like some crazy drug test or something and they're like not willing to accept the fact that I'm a medical marijuana patient and that I'm going to test positive for marijuana. It's like, you know, it's not illegal. It's, I am legally allowed,
right,
you know, so that if they had a problem with that, they're a fully remote company though. So I don't think they do drug testing because there's different drug laws in every state. So I don't think, you know, I'm not in a client facing role. I don't think they're going to do a drug test. Because that's just an unnecessary expense. And, you know, they'll do a background check, which, you know, there's nothing in my background that I'm aware of that, you know, hasn't so far. So I haven't murdered anyone since the last time I had a background check. So, you know, other than Joey Buhecker, corrected his insane right-wing propaganda.
So my food got here faster than I thought it was going to.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was saying goodbye. Anyway, good night, Adam.
Good night.
I will see you next week. Good night, chat room, which I believe is Joe in Dallas and Lamont Cranston. Good night, both of you.
Good night, both of you.
And then we'll just go ahead and say good night to Level 13. Good night, Level 13.